To restate, the U.S. House passed a bill 2 weeks ago that would regulate the labeling of genetically modified foods, or GMO. The major question is how much the bill would regulate GMO if it becomes law. The bill is now in the Senate. In Oregon, one of the major disagreements concerns the effect of the would-be law on local measures like Jackson County's GMO crop ban. The Oregon Farm Bureau says no, there would not be an effect. We talked to the Farm Bureau's Gail Greenman earlier in the hour. Now let's get another view from George Kimbrell at the Center for Food Safety. George, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
Let's get the broader view first in what you see the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act of 2015 as doing.
Well, yeah, we refer to it as the DARC Act, the Deny Americans Their Right to Know statute, because we think it would strip the ability of Americans to know whether their food has been genetically engineered or not.
And obviously that's of concern to you. What are the major concerns you have about GMO itself in food?
Well, we think consumers deserve the right to know first and foremost, and they have a lot of reasons why 90% of Americans support labeling of genetically engineered foods, like 64 countries around the world already do. They want to know for environmental reasons, that is, the impacts of the production system on the environment. They want to know because of potential health unknowns and risks. They want to know because of impacts on farmers from transgenic contamination from genetically engineered crops. And they want to know fundamentally because they think it's deceptive and confusing that GMO foods are not labeled here as they are in most of the rest of the world.
So you mentioned that a lot of people do support this. What was that figure again?
90%. Polls show over and over again that approximately 90% of Americans support mandatory labeling of genetically engineered foods, which is remarkable since it's hard to find anything, I think, that 90% of Americans agree upon.
There's much to be said about the names that Congress gives to bills that come out of there. This one at least doesn't have one of those acronyms, although you've given it one with the Deny Americans the Right to Know Act, or DARC. The Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act of 2015, I mean, do you think it even comes close to being safe or accurate?
Oh, no. I think it's a classic Orwellian term given to – it's quite the opposite of that. First of all, it's not going to label anything. It sets up a voluntary labeling system that would allow manufacturers to submit to USDA to have their foods – if they wanted to voluntarily, but in fact, we've already had that system in place for 15 years, and exactly zero manufacturers have agreed to label for the presence of genetically engineered ingredients. So it's not going to label anything. And then at the same time, it's going to strip states of the right to label genetically engineered foods, you know, which is a growing grassroots movement across the country. We have three states that have already enacted such laws, Connecticut, Maine, and Vermont, and numerous other states, including Oregon, that have come very, very close to enacting similar laws.
So should this pass, if either Oregon or California passes a state GMO labeling requirement, it would not be allowed under this act?
Yes, that's right. It would be preempted.
Speaking of preemption, then, that gets us to the whole issue of the effect on other laws within states, like Jackson County's GMO crop ban, which just went into effect a couple of months ago. What do you see happening here?
Well, there's another preemption provision in this law. It's interesting since this is a law that's supported by a large percentage of the Republican Party, and it would really strip away local rights and states' rights in many ways. In addition to labeling, there's another provision in it which would strip from states and local governments the right to regulate genetically engineered crop production in any way. And so that obviously, in our view, would negatively affect many counties across the country, many states. We have an early count of about 150 different laws in about 42 different states that would potentially be preempted by that provision, including Jackson County's ordinance that you mentioned.
You know, where things get tricky, though, and where Gail Greenman from the Oregon Farm Bureau stakes the claim of the Farm Bureau is on the fact that it says, no, it's not food in interstate commerce, therefore it's not covered by the preemption clause.
Well, it's, you know, I think the proof is in who the messenger is there. I mean, I think these are the same folks that have opposed the law in Jackson County, both at the ballot and then in litigation, challenging it to this point, as well as, you know, any restrictions on genetically engineered crops to prevent contamination or other harms that they cause anywhere across the country. So if this provision truly wasn't intended to prevent counties like Jackson, It certainly could have been written to say that expressly, but it doesn't. It says that no state or political subdivision may directly or indirectly establish under any authority a law that would affect genetically engineered food in interstate commerce. So direct or indirect, it's very broad in its language, and I think Machiavellian in its language, and I think it endangers numerous laws, including Jackson's.
And does this go somewhat beyond the term that the Chief Justice used in a different case about inartful drafting?
Well, whether it's inartful or intended, it's damaging, in our view, to local rights and states' rights of governance. And that's, I think, fundamental to our democracy, that you have different localities that should have the right to decide what is right for their particular area.
George Kimbrell is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's from the Center for Food Safety. We're getting his side on H.R. 1599, called the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act of 2015, officially called unofficially by opponents the Deny Americans the Right to Know Act, or DARK Act. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your viewpoint at 800-838-3760 around the listening area, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned that we do have a voluntary system already, so we're just talking about continuing something that already exists and isn't made much use of?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think you have absence labeling that has proliferated, which has really been driven by market demand. So certainly you have products out there that are saying that they're not produced with genetically engineered ingredients. But what I was referring to is the fact that we have had for 15 years a voluntary system of presence labeling that zero manufacturers have taken advantage of. That is, they would label that they do affirmatively use genetically engineered ingredients. And I think there's a fundamental difference there, because if you don't have the presence labeling, you don't have basic factual disclosure. You only have half the picture for consumers. And it's very misleading.
All right, so it's not an absence labeling, which is what this bill talks about. It's a presence labeling, indicating, you know, people can say we have GMO in this product.
That's right.
Okay, that is a big difference. The absence labeling, do you think that would be an easier thing to get people to go for? I mean, there are already lots of bags and boxes and things at the grocery store that seem to indicate GMO-free on them.
Yeah, and it would do that. The DARK Act also has a provision which would make a federal system for that. But as you note, Jeff, we already have that in the private sector. So it's really, in my view, a bunch of window dressing on preemption. I mean, what this bill is intended to do is to stop the labeling movement that we see in the laboratories of our democracy, the states across the country right now, and the rest of it is just for show.
I notice a couple of other provisions here that that end up in the summary from the Congressional Research Service. One is that no food label can suggest that non-GMO foods are safer than GMO foods. That's one. And another one is a food can be labeled as non-GMO, even if it is produced with GMO processing aid or enzyme, or derived from animals fed GMO feed or given GMO drugs. So a lot of squish room there.
Yeah, I think you've got that right. I think it's a lot of squish room.
All right, some calls here. Here's Sandy in Mount Shasta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking GMO foods and labeling with George Kimbrell from the Center for Food Safety. Hi, Sandy.
Yeah, hi, Jeffrey. Well, as I was listening to your earlier guest, I was struck by how she seemed like a very sincere person. She has children. She's concerned about her children. But she also struck me as something of a mouthpiece for the GMO industry. And I think, you know, what I see happening in this country is that on so many issues, this, climate change, all these really serious problems we're facing, we seem to have bred into our population a fixation with let's do something for the short term and that let the future take care of itself, which I think is really delusional. And I think it's part and parcel because where our nervous system is designed, we are incredibly good at detecting things that happen fast. So any sudden change in any of our perception field with any of our senses gets our attention immediately. But we're terrible, or at least we have been terrible, at tracking things that take a long time to cause damage. Mm-hmm. I think that's why people can continue to smoke. You start smoking, and for years,
cigarettes is the first place I'd go too, because it took us so long to convince people that it was dangerous. And
by the time you realize that you shouldn't have started, the damage has long been done. And I remember just prior to the WTO demonstrations in Seattle, there was a huge teach-in with people like David Suzuki there, you know, the Canadian scientist, mm-hmm. who is very opposed to GMOs. And he himself is a geneticist, and he made the point that at that point, and we're talking 1999, right, the whole GMO industry was fighting tooth and nail to get this stuff inserted into the bloodstream of our economy, if you will, or our food chain, with zero regulation and zero transparency about the safety or potential hazards of the food, simply claiming that it was safe. And he pointed out that when he was a young geneticist starting out his career, there were things that he and his cohorts believed were absolutely true and scientifically established that within 5 years had been proven to be completely false. And so he was saying, what is the rush here? What is the rush here? Because if we allow this thing to get deeply embedded in our food system, we have zero chance of getting it out if down the road it turns out, and there seems to be indications that it is turning out to be really damaging.
All right, let's get a response. So, thanks, Sandy, thanks for that. George, go ahead.
Sure. I think with regards to first labeling, one of the reasons it's important is that it does provide traceability and accountability. You have causation. If folks are getting sick, and it's connected to some genetically engineered ingredient, we have no way of knowing. However, when you have labeling, you're going to have that traceability and accountability and transparency. And then second, with regards to the food chain more broadly, I think what we've seen in recent years is counties like Jackson proliferating and creating genetically engineered crop-free zones, GE-free zones, that I think are really critical to the future of our agriculture. So we have a different paradigm. And so, as the caller indicated, it's not so proliferated into our food system that, you know, it's impossible to find seeds that are not genetically engineered.
All right, let's take another call here from Steve and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with George Kimbrell from the Center for Food Safety. Steve, go ahead. Steve, are you there? All right, I think Steve had a question about Europe, and so I'll just jump into where the space he was going into. We were talking just a little bit about that earlier in the hour with Gail from the Farm Bureau. European countries generally do require labeling of GMO foods, is that right?
Yeah, so 64 countries around the world that we know of require labeling of genetically engineered foods. So that's all of Europe. It's countries you wouldn't necessarily think of, like Russia and China. They require that GE foods be labeled. It's countries like Australia, Japan. So it's quite broadly required around the world.
Now, what about cost? That was one of the major cases made, is that if we're going to have to start labeling things GMO-free, that it's going to raise the cost of food.
Yeah, there's no evidence of that to support that claim. Back in last fall when we were having the ballot initiative here, Measure 92, there was a great study that Consumer Reports put out, I think it was in November, that you can find on the Internet that debunked that claim. But essentially, this has been required all over the world, and there's no evidence that it has increased costs. The same multinational companies, Hershey's, General Mills, that are refusing to label genetically engineered foods here and say it's too costly, actually do label them, you know, for their products internationally.
Beppe in Medford sent a link to a Slate article called Unhealthy Fixation by William Salatan that says the war against genetically modified organisms is full of fear-mongering, errors, and fraud. Labeling them will not make you safer. Will we be safer if we get labels on the food?
I think so, absolutely. I mean, I think, you like I said before, labeling is a market-based form of regulation. When you have labeling, you have transparency, you have choice, you have traceability when it comes to products, whether it be health issues or otherwise. So I certainly think that's, again, only one reason we label things. So whether you believe genetically engineered foods are potentially harmful to health or not, you know, we label things for many reasons. We label orange juice from concentrate. We label country of origin, where things come from, because people want to know for various reasons, as I mentioned at the outset. So if we know something is definitively harmful to your health, we don't require it be labeled. We take it off the market. So it's a red herring and a misallocation of the burden to say that it's us, the proponents of labeling. It's our duty to show that genetically engineered foods are definitively harmful to health in order to require their labeling. I think for most people it's enough to just know that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration does not do any independent safety testing or analysis or make any finding of safety for these foods. It relies entirely on the manufacturer's studies in a consultation that is private, and even that is voluntary, and that is the sum total of the assessment of health that the federal government in the United States does for genetically engineered foods. That rightly raises health risks and concerns for them.
Couple of emails here. Jay in Walterville says we have to identify the source and list ingredients in food. Limiting labeling is purely to protect business and take choice away from consumer. The cost argument I find spurious. Mike in Medford writes, we have more than enough food for everyone in the country. We produce so much that nearly half of it is thrown out. Just like the Monsanto CEO, the Farm Bureau doesn't care how it's done as long as they produce as much food as possible. The problem isn't GMOs. The problem is big money-backed groups that crush local democracy. I thought at least my local vote still counted, but it looks like it will go to the wind like your GMO seeds. Given the vote in the House, 275 yeses and 150 noes, is there any indication whether it might pass as easily in the Senate at this point?
Oh, the Senate is an entirely different body. It'll be a different debate there and a different tenor. We don't even know what that bill looks like yet. There has not been a companion bill that's been introduced yet on the Senate side. The Republicans have been unable to find a Democratic co-sponsor for such a bill. So I think, yes, I think it will be quite a different debate on that side. And when I was in Washington, D.C. A few weeks ago, meeting with folks talking about this with Elise Higley, a local farmer in Jackson County, Oregon, we had a lot of people that assured us that things would be very different on the Senate side, including Senator Merkley and some others. So we feel good that we're going to have some champions on the Senate side that are going to stop this from passing.
You know, bills have certainly been known to leave the U.S. House with a resounding yes vote and just kind of die in the U.S. Senate. So it would be the first time if it happens with this. We're talking about H.R. 1599, the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act of 2015. Which would pretty much preempt any state or local laws on GMO labeling and put in place instead a voluntary GMO labeling system. George Kimbrell is with the Center for Food Safety. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.